Friday, July 18th, we are finishing up our mock draft review of a 12-team standard scoring league, 15 rounds. We are through 6 rounds. If you haven't heard them, listen to Wednesday's show. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
What up?
You guys ready for the second half of the fantasy baseball season?
What?
Excited about that?
Sure.
When does that start?
Now. Today.
What's the name of our fantasy team?
Email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Why are you embarrassed?
I'm not embarrassed. I just don't want to share. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're doing in first place.
There you go.
We're doing a Mailbag Monday. So no emails on today's show, but Mailbag Monday. Get your questions in. And please put football podcast in the subject line. You guys have been very well behaved since Wednesday's show. I do thank you for that. Makes our jobs a lot easier to sort through the emails. And watch fantasy football today. We've got some videos on the website now. Fantasynews.cbsports.com. Ready? It's 12 teams, standard scoring, no PPR, 6 points for passing touchdown, start one quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, tight end, a flex, which can be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. So far, I had the 7th overall pick, and I have Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin, Antonio Brown.
Wait, when you get to your pick in the 6th round, let's make sure the power's working.
Trent Richardson, the 5th round. Steven Jackson. And Julian Edelman. Dave has Arian Foster. Dave had the
9th pick.
He has Arian Foster, Peyton Manning, Ryan Matthews, Andre Johnson, Emmanuel Sanders, and Torrey Smith. And Jamie had the 2nd pick. He has LeSean McCoy, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Joik Bell, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Dennis Pitta.
I have an idea. Mm-hmm. Now that you've run down our rosters through 6 rounds, maybe we should each spend 15 seconds to talk about what we were looking for next after these next 6 rounds.
You're on the clock.
Well, obviously running backs. I only had 2. I had 3 wide receivers. And you know that I'm the kind of guy that likes to load up on running backs. Kind of pained me to go with wide receivers as much as I did. But, I knew for sure in round 7 I needed a running back.
Well, obviously I'm pretty happy with the start of this draft. And so I was looking either backup running backs or quarterback, which is what I did in round 7. But
yeah, and I was looking for a quarterback or a tight. Oh no, I have a tight end. So a quarterback to fall for me. I've that Jimmy Graham guy, and I still need.
With the time
back
that
depth.
You drafted him, you might have thought he was a wide receiver.
I'm just looking for value here at running back, quarterback, or wide receiver. I don't think anything specific.
I know what tight end I want, and I got him, but I won't say when, just to add a little suspense to this boring draft.
Here's round 7, Mike Wallace. And then Jamie takes Andrew Luck. Scott takes Noshawn Marino. Then we have MJD, Kyle Rudolph, Fred Jackson. I took Jeremy Maclin, Jordan Reed, Terrence West to Dave, Tom Brady, Kendall Wright, and Kyrie Robinson.
Jamie, when you saw Andrew Luck available in round 7, mm-hmm. what went through your mind?
How many backflips did you do, I think is a better question.
I'm angling at that, but I know that I don't know how excited Jamie gets about steals in the draft.
I don't necessarily view this as a steal. I think this is a good spot for him, given the way that this draft unfolded, because I see that Tom Brady is still on the board, RG3 is still on the board, Nick Foles, good luck, is still on the board, and Tony Romo is still on the board. So, I could have gambled to take Romo, I could have passed on Luck and taken a running back in that spot. But at that point, I was looking at what player best suits my team. The player I liked the best outside of Andrew Luck was Kendall Wright. And if I didn't already have 3 receivers, I would have loved to take Kendall Wright as my 3rd receiver because I think he's going to be awesome this year. To me, it was too early to take Terrence West or Kyrie Robinson. I don't have a problem with them going this round, but I think it was a little too early. I prefer those guys in round 8. Same with Lamar Miller, Devontae Freeman, who I took in round 8.
Why would you go with Kendall Wright over Jeremy Maclin? Because personally, I thought all 3 of us had a great round. Mm-hmm. And this might have been my favorite pick of my team.
Oh, I like Jerry Maclin. I just think that the way that Kendall Wright established himself last year, 3rd-year receiver, which I'm very big on, the projections that I saw today from the Tennessean beat writer, take that for what it's worth, Jim Wyatt, who's one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best beat writers in the country, covers the Titans for a very long time. He did a fantasy football projections for 4 offensive Titans players, Bernard Pollard being the 5th guy. And he has Kendall Wright with monstrous numbers. He has him for 88 catches, which I do as well. Dave has him for 89. I did a blog on this. That's why I know it.
Yeah.
He Dave and I both have him. Dave's the lowest in terms of yards. He has him for 1,008 yards. I have him for 1,085. What did I say he had him for? 1,300 yards?
It was like 1,300.
1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns. Now, this is a guy who scored 2 touchdowns. I think he's got 6 in his career. So I just did the numbers on this because I wrote him as part of my breakouts. If Kendall Wright gets to 5 touchdowns with the numbers he posted a year ago, he's a number 21 fantasy receiver. So that's all it takes is 3 touchdowns. You give him 8 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Forget about the yards. Forget about the 1,300 yards. Give him 8 touchdowns?
Yeah, anybody. There's not going to be a wide receiver that scores 8 touchdowns that doesn't have a great fantasy
year. Of course. Very well put. But this is a guy that
– Eddie Royal.
The ball okay. The ball is in his hands all the time.
Yeah, I just feel like Macklin's going to be that guy. I don't see how Macklin doesn't have a big year. Dave, what do you think?
I could take or leave either guy. I think I have I'm looking. I got Macklin at 27, and I got Wright at 31.
Yeah,
probably too low. But I think I have him – like I've got him behind – Jamie, cue the barf sound. I've got him behind Eric Decker. And I part of the reason why is because I just think that the touchdowns, they haven't been there for him. He's worked with Jake Locker for a long time. Why now would the touchdowns go to Kendall Wright? The direction from Ken Wisenhunt, I can buy into that a little bit, which is why I projected him for how many? 5, 6?
Again, for 5.
Right. Maybe I'm a little low. Maybe he should have 6 touchdowns along with 1,000 yards again and tons of catches. But I view him as the third receiver for fantasy.
Could Macklin be a stud this year?
Of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think both guys could. I don't think there's a downside to either guy based on you're talking round 7 as really your third receiver. He's your third guy?
Yeah.
Right?
And he's really my flex because I'd start him over Steven Jones.
And I would assume that Joe Polito is probably his third guy. I'm okay if it's a second guy, but I'm assuming.
Kendall Wright is Joe's third guy.
Yes. So, you know, you're looking at these two guys. This is the spot to take them.
Right.
You know, so I don't think, you know, I know, Dave, you said you don't view him as a second guy. I don't think anybody should because there are really 25, 27 really great receivers.
In a standard league. PPR.
Yeah, PPR, he should be a top 24 guy. Yeah. And this is a standard draft. But I'm again, the way that I viewed this pick, if I did not have Cordarrelle Patterson, and let's say I went running back in that spot, so I already have 3 running backs, and I was looking for a third receiver, I would have taken Kendall Wright over Andrew Luck.
All right, so then we got the running backs.
Not to make you feel bad about your pick. I don't have a problem with you taking
Macklin. No, that's fine. That's not making me feel bad. That's cool. The running backs that went in this round, Dave, you took the 4th one and out of 5. I'm assuming you're pretty happy with it. Noshon, then MJD, then Fred Jackson, and then you took Terrence West, then Kyrie Robinson went with the last pick of round 7.
Would have been very happy with Fred Jackson if he had made it to me in round 7. Even though he's, you know, the gimpy old man in Buffalo who's not going to do what he did last year.
The reports about Bryce Brown taking away touches from him.
I mean, I think that's bound to happen, but push comes to shove when they need a guy to do the no-huddle and 2-minute offense and work at the goal line. They're going to lean on Jackson until he breaks.
That's if Spiller's healthy?
Yeah. When's the last time Spiller worked at the goal line?
Oh, well, outside of that factor, but the other two factors, I don't see C.J. Spiller coming off the field.
No, I think he will.
If they're in no huddle, they're not bringing C.J. Spiller off to get Fred Jackson on.
Fred was the 2-minute guy last year when Spiller was healthy.
He was never healthy.
Early on in the season,
he
wasn't
healthy?
Had a knee
injury in preseason. Doug Marrone talked about that at the owner's meeting.
Okay, so that's fine. So maybe they made the decision then, and Fred Jackson's only going to be – no one thinks he's going to do what he did last year. It's immaterial. Upside with Terrence West, the debate for me was between West and Lamar Miller with a little Kyrie Robinson mixed in. And I knew I needed a running back, and I didn't know if I would be able to get one in the next round, so I took the one that I thought had the most upside. I'm not the biggest Ben Tate fan in the world. I do like Terrence West, and I think he's a good pick. Round 7, maybe a little too early. Jamie's right. Round 8, probably when you will find him in your typical fantasy draft. But I knew what position I wanted. I knew what position I didn't want. It would be overkill if I drafted Macklin or Kendall Wright on my team. I'd have a logjam at wide receiver. I don't want that. The tight end that I wanted, it would be too soon for him in round 7. I'm happy with my running back.
It's not too early to take him there, I don't think. First of all, we'll fast forward. You got Lamar Miller in the 8th round. But you need a running back. And specifically to your team, if you have to reach one round for a guy that has a lot of upside, there's nothing wrong with that in the 7th round.
I don't think there
either. I didn't mean to say that it's a bad pick for you. For me, it didn't make sense because I still needed a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I needed running back depth. I only had 2. But I also need a quarterback. And so when I was looking at my roster, what made the most sense for me was not to take a guy who I thought is too soon I don't have a problem with him here. For me, it was too soon.
Yeah.
So I took the highest upside quarterback that I had left.
And for whatever it's worth, I think your pick in round eight made up for that.
All right, real quick. How
right.
about the tight
Which
ends
we'll talk about.
In round seven? Kyle Rudolph and Jordan Reed. Cool with it?
Love them.
Okay. Round eight, T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins. First, did Brandon Cooks go yet?
No.
Oh, he goes in this later in this round. All right, so the rookies are coming off the board. T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, Marcus Colston, Lamar Miller to Dave, D'Angelo Williams. I take a quarterback here, RG3. Eric Decker, Jeremy Hill, Brandon Cooks, Nick Foles. Jamie gets Devontae Freeman, and Al Melchior takes Greg Olsen.
Okay, I'll ask you the same question I asked Jamie. When you saw RG3 there in round eight, did you think, wow, amazing, or pretty good deal, or yeah, this is where he should go?
This is where he should go.
Okay.
It's hard for me to say if I would have rather had Luck around earlier. I think I would have if I had felt better about Steven Jackson as my flex. Maybe I would have, if I had a better flex, maybe I would have taken Luck around earlier than RG3. But I guess I felt like I had to solidify my skill positions, my non-quarterbacks positions here. But I like RG3, and the reports are good, and he was so damn good 2 years ago, and really wasn't that bad last year. He just wasn't. He wasn't that bad last year.
His fantasy production was not bad last year. He was bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, his fantasy production.
But even him playing
because the early part of the season was they were in such like frenetic comeback modes,
yeah.
And his numbers ended up being good. But because they were in comeback efforts, it was because he looked so poorly in the beginning of games.
I mean, if you think he's 100%, then getting him in the eighth round, I think, is great.
The thing I like about RG3, I like about Brady, I like about Roma, I even don't mind about Nick Foles, is there's so many good number two quarterbacks that if these guys get hurt or struggle or fail, you know, you're going to be able to get a Roethlisberger or a Palmer or, you know, like Dave likes Bradford, or, you know, I think Tannehill's got a chance. Alex Smith, Dalton, and Rivers all played very well last year as number two quarterbacks.
And a lot of those names you're going to find on the waiver wire after the draft.
Right.
You don't even have to draft
them. That's the point. Is that,
like, Palmer and Roethlisberger you'd have to draft.
Yeah, and Rivers is going to get drafted. Dalton's going to get drafted. But, I mean, Alex Smith and Bradford and Tannehill and Eli and Flacco and the rookies, they're all going to be available. And two or three or five of those guys are going to all of a sudden look very good, you know, come the middle of the season if RG3 has a setback for whatever, you know, the case may be.
Yeah, and I did take Roethlisberger. This is the eighth round. I took Griffin. I took Roethlisberger in the 12th round. Dave, now you're loading up on running backs a little bit.
Just like I said, and one of the running backs that I was looking at in round seven was Lamar Miller, getting him in round eight. You know, as of now, on July 18th, I don't think it's that much of a stroke of luck. But August 18th, we'll see if Lamar Miller is going this late in a draft.
I think he will, because by that point, Moreno's healthy.
You didn't
have... Will he be? We don't know.
Well, he should be. I mean, the reports are he should be ready right around the start of training camp, if not the start of training camp. So I think it's still going to go like this. It's obviously pretty telling that they're, you know, we're starting to see 7-8, you know, back-to-back rounds for Moreno and Miller.
Well, yeah, that was my question. You didn't have this option, but let's say hypothetically you did. Would you rather have had Terrence West and Lamar Miller or Knowshon Moreno and Lamar Miller?
West and Miller.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think I want anything to do with Knowshon.
But not even just to get the guy in Miami?
No, right.
Okay. Jamie, what else stands out to you in this round here?
Well, you know, I know I sound like the biggest Nick Foles hater, but, you know, I look, it's interesting that he went as a backup quarterback because Scott White, I believe, took Aaron Rodgers and then took Nick Foles.
I think you're right.
So I was very surprised to see him do that. As opposed to going another
draft. Yeah, Scott White spent a second-round pick on Aaron Rodgers.
And an eighth round.
And then eighth round on Nick Foles. I don't like that either.
Two quarterbacks in the first eight rounds.
Yeah, I think he's either looking at this was the best player on his board, you know, almost like an NFL draft approach as opposed to a fantasy football draft approach. You just take the best talent available, thinking that he can make a trade or just wants to have, you know, end of the year best fantasy points for a total team. So, I mean,
tiebreaker.
This is the spot where Nick Foles should go. He's in that group of, you know, Luck and Romo and RG3. You know, so I'm fine with him going there. I was a little surprised though that he went as a backup. T.Y. Hilton's a guy we get a lot of questions on. At least I get a lot of questions on. I did a chat yesterday and was asked why we have him ranked as low as we do. You know, the only thing that a negative to me is the return of Reggie Wayne and the addition of Akeem Nicks, you know, because last year we saw Hilton fall into good numbers because he was the only guy healthy. And when you have this loaded receiving core with Dwayne Allen back, and it's all just going to take a little bit away from Hilton. So I still think he's the best Colts receiver, but I wouldn't take him ahead of, you know, some of the two other guys that we just talked about in terms of Macklin and Kendall Wright.
He is a major boom or bust bomb.
Oh, yeah. I have the numbers here because I just looked this up before the podcast. T.Y. Hilton had nine games of 4 fantasy points or less.
And 5 with 10 or more.
And he is predictable in that it's 2 years in a row, right? Terrible outdoors.
Yeah, he had really his best game outdoors was against the Chiefs. Right? Mm-hmm. It was in Kansas City? No, it was Indianapolis.
No, that's the playoff game?
It was in Indianapolis. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The game, but his best game outdoors, I think, was.
City.
Well, it was week 16, yeah. And it was 5 fantasy. No, it was week 16.
Oh, okay.
17 was Jacksonville. He had 15 points. 5 fantasy points at Kansas City. Yeah. I mean, you see at Houston, 30 points, but that's not an outdoor game. He stinks outdoors. This year, at Denver, at Jacksonville, at Houston, that's good. At Pittsburgh, at the Giants, at Cleveland, at Dallas, at Tennessee. So that's 6 outdoor games. Dallas and Houston being indoors.
But see, that's kind of the thing, though, that I like about T.Y. Hilton going later is if your number two receiver, let's say, bombs, doesn't live up to the expectations, you know for the sixth, whatever, I don't know, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to exactly
games.
When the games are, but the games that, you know, prior to week 13,
yeah,
that he's indoors, you know you can start him and feel comfortable that there's a potential for a good game, especially if the first 2 or 3 look like he's been over the course of his career.
Yeah, one of his outdoor games is week 17, so you don't have to worry about that in most leagues. All right, shall we move on? Round nine. Stephon Taylor.
I get to talk about Devontae Freeman. I'm sorry.
We
talked about that with Steven Jackson. So Freeman at this point to me was the most high upside running back left. And then Al screwed me again.
He took Stephon Taylor.
Yes.
Into the beginning of round nine.
I had in my mind, I'm going Freeman when I saw the way it was falling. And then round nine was either going to be Taylor or Michael.
And you took Kristen Michael after,
yes,
Taylor went off the board.
And then Al, if Al really could have screwed me over if he took Greg Olsen, and instead of taking Greg Olsen, if he took Taylor and Michael.
Is Jeremy Hill gone at this point?
Yes, when Jeremy Hill go? Was.
He
was,
went,
was,
around,
he went
eight.
Around eight.
It
he
was a surprise pick.
Is there a big difference between Jeremy Hill and Stephon Taylor? Is it been Jarvis Green-Ellis still being
I think
there?
When Green-Ellis is cut, I'll be more optimistic about Hill. But it has to happen.
But you see, obviously, the similarities that I'm drawing there.
Yeah, number
between
two guy
tackles,
behind, you know,
touchdown, 100%.
100%. Yeah. And I think Hill's upside should be better.
All right, so Stephon Taylor, first pick of round nine. Kristen Michael, second pick of round nine. Bernard Pierce, Carlos Hyde, Chris Ivory. How about that? 5 running backs to start things off. Mike Evans, 6th pick. I took David Wilson. Which, now that I saw what we posted on the website today, I love that pick. He's expected to be ready for training camp. The Giants owner said so. Danny Woodhead, Zach Ertz, Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, now,
oh, Dave took Zach Ertz. Reggie Wayne, Riley Cooper, Tony Romo.
You should talk about this because you weren't here when we did the NFC East breakdown.
Mm-hmm. I was there for the video. But yeah.
And you and I have talked about this, and one of the ones that Dave wasn't here. Why do you like Wilson more than Jennings and
I think he's better.
Williams.
I think he's better. I guess it could be like a Spiller Jackson thing where I see touchdowns potentially being an issue.
But that could be Williams.
I don't know that Williams is going to do. I have no idea. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm some type of insider. I don't know. I don't expect a lot from Williams this year. I think it's a two-man show mostly between Wilson and Rashad Jennings. And I think David Wilson will beat him out. I think talent will win out. I'm banking on that.
I think the Giants don't know.
That's very possible.
I think they signed Rashad Jennings, and it was a very shrewd signing because Jennings can do everything. You need a guy at the goal line? Cool, he can do it. Third down, he can block for you. He can catch passes for you. First and second down, he can run the ball effectively enough. We're not going to call him the next great, you know, sprinter,
sure,
in the NFL.
Better than Peyton Hillis, he's not exactly David Wilson.
Right.
Yeah, I think David Wilson was very good when he had his opportunities,
sure,
in his rookie year.
And when they signed Jennings, they had no idea when Wilson would come back, and Williams wasn't on the team. And so now they've kind of got these running backs where one has a skill set that can do everything. One's a game breaker, but I don't know how much he can really do. And the third is a guy who was a monster in college, but he's probably going to be scaled back and working more in the Peyton Hillis-ish type of role. And they're going to let training camp play out. And I feel like you reached here. Now, training camp could happen,
really?
And the preseason could happen, and David Wilson could look great, and then the Giants have to kind of alter their plans a little bit. But I kind of can't help but think that maybe we're overlooking Rashad Jennings a little bit.
Oh, I totally disagree with that, because average draft position right now might not be on our site, but other sites where they do average draft, he's going around five. No way would I touch that guy in round. And that's not a running back heavy draft. That's ahead of some guys that he should not be going ahead of.
Like so, who? Who were some of the guys?
He went in the end of round five, last pick of round five in our draft.
Yeah, but again, our drafts are so running back heavy, it's not necessarily fair to say that. But I've seen him go ahead of Joik Bell, Stephen Ridley, no way. Gore, no way.
I could see that. I could see him going ahead of Gore.
Not me. Well, you could take him ahead of Gore. Go ahead. I'm not touching that.
But you would take him ahead of Gore? You would take Rashad Jennings ahead of Gore?
As of now.
Okay.
Because I don't think Frank Gore gets the workload he got last year.
Yeah, but I would definitely take the any bet you want to make of Frank Gore getting 200 carries versus Rashad Jennings getting 200 carries, which is what they're talking about, scaling down Gore 50 carries from 250 to 2.
I mean, he had more than that last year. Aren't they scaling him down to like 220?
But he's
going to
get more touches because Gore never catches the ball.
I don't care.
Right.
I'll take the 200 carries of Frank Gore.
I don't care about it. I'm looking at touches.
I'll take the touches of Frank Gore versus the touches of Rashad Jennings.
That's an interesting
bet. A guy at 29 years old getting his first opportunity, coming off of a miraculous season, and Rashad Jennings was great last year for the Raiders. But if David Wilson's healthy, there's no way that guy is going to be 16 games of a consistent workload. No way.
You mean Rashad Jennings won't?
Rashad Jennings won't. Yeah.
Because you think Wilson will eventually step in.
I think Wilson
will
take some of it. I think Andre Williams is going to take some of it. I think Jennings going to have some games where he's, 15 for 45, and he's not getting the numbers that they need, and then he's not on the field the next week.
If you're the Giants, and it's week two, and you're down big, who's the running back you want in your hurry-up offense?
Oh, David Wilson? It's not close.
All right. I don't know if they see it that way.
Yeah, but I think you're right, Dave. I don't think they know. I think we've got to see what – that's a very up-in-the-air situation. We've got to see what Wilson can do in training camp.
And I don't think you
Where did Jennings go in this draft?
End of last pick of round five.
I don't think you reached – for Wilson here, because the guys who went after him, you can argue Woodhead, you could argue Sproles and Mason, but if you feel confident in him, he's not going to go round eight in most drafts. We can say that. Running backs aren't going to be this scarce by round eight. They'll be scarce by round 10. I'm sorry, round nine. They'll be scarce by round 11.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's probably a safer spot for him.
Chris Johnson, Rashad Jennings, Jamie.
I'd rather Chris Johnson.
Ooh. I haven't ranked that way right now, and now I'm thinking that I'm going to move him up.
It's tough for you guys to do rankings before we see any preseason games, before we see any training camp, because you're talking about two players who are on different teams than they were last year. We have no idea what their situation is going to be. So, listeners, be flexible. Let them be flexible. All right, let me just
Maybe
repeat
just
the round.
Avoid them.
We've detoured. No, I don't think you have to avoid them. I think you get good value. Just let's wait and see. Don't draft in July. Stephon Taylor, Kristen Michael, Bernard Pierce, Carlos Hyde, Chris Ivory, Mike Evans, David Wilson, Danny Woodhead, Zach Ertz to Dave, Reggie Wayne, Riley Cooper, Tony Romo.
And Bernard Pierce is interesting because very similar to what Dave said about Lamar Miller, this could be a bargain pick right now. But if Ray Rice is suspended for 4-plus games, Bernard Pierce is going to go in round 6. I don't like it either, but it's, I mean.
I'm not taking him in round 6. I just don't like
it's
him.
It's probably too soon. But where'd you take Lamar Miller? Round 7?
Round 8.
Round 8? Okay. Round 7, round 8. That's probably where we'll go.
Tell me why you took Zach Ertz.
So I didn't get a stud tight end early. I don't know how many drafts I'll be in where I consider a stud tight end early. And so I'm looking for a tight end that has kind of a cheap price tag on him with monstrous upside. And part of the reason why I love Nick Foles and why I love the Eagles offense is because of this guy, because of Zach Ertz. I love the way he finished last season. I know he's going to be used more in the Philadelphia offense this season. I think he's a legitimate breakout candidate and somebody who, I mean, I don't want to say the sky's the limit for him because I don't want to say like 1,200 yards and 13 touchdowns for Zach Ertz. I think that's unreasonable. But productive for fantasy purposes and well worth a 9th-round pick to be my starting tight end. I'm looking for that type of a tight end if I can't get a stud early on. I don't want to settle for Martellus Bennett later on or Delanie Walker. I want a guy who's got massive potential. And if I whiff with him, I can go to the waiver wire and find Delanie Walker or Martellus Bennett.
I agree with everything you said. The thing that concerns me about Zach Ertz is the first 4 games. Because no Lane Johnson there means Brent Celek's going to see a lot more time because of his blocking.
Brent Celek might see a lot more time anyway.
Well, the playing time was so slanted in Celek's favor last year because of his blocking ability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever you think of this offense, it's still run first. And Celek is a tremendous run blocker, whereas Ertz
is not. He's a receiver in a tight end's body.
And it looks like you caught Ertz at the right time, because 26 more picks were off the board before another tight end was selected, and that was Eric Ebron. So,
well, and I should also mention that Ertz was the 11th tight end taken. There were two teams left that needed a starting tight end. Ertz and Ebron were the last ones there.
Okay.
And I know for a fact that Ebron went as far as he did because the owner that needed a tight end was the only one that needed to fill that spot,
sure.
And he just waited for him to fall into his lap.
So which would you prefer in retrospect?
Ertz.
In two rounds earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to round 10. We've got Trey Mason off the board, Darren Sproles, Andre Williams, Charles Sims to Dave, Seahawks DST off the board, first DST to Herc, Reuben Randle to me.
I love that pick for you.
I just want to say something because I swear, I know the one thing I get flack for, and I'm working on it. I'm sorry if I talk about the Giants too much. And I took three Giants in a row in rounds 9, 10, and 11. But I truly meant every one of those picks as the best ones for my fantasy team. But thank you for that.
Well, Randle to me is a steal at this point.
That's kind of how I felt. Hakeem Nicks after Randle, Jordan Matthews, Cam Newton, Dwayne Bowe, LeGarrette Blount to Jamie, and Darren McFadden to finish out round 10. So, Jamie, looks like how many rounds in a row did you draft a running back?
Three.
Freeman, Michael, Blount in rounds 8, 9, and 10.
And I went running back in 7, 8, and 10.
Okay. So, yeah, you see the strategy there. Makes sense.
Well, at that point, I know my receiving core is awesome. You know, Julio, A.J. Green, Cordarrelle Patterson. I can't find a flaw with that. And
it's too good. It's unfair.
I have, you know, McCoy and Joique Bell, but at this point now I'm looking for, you know, somebody to be that third guy. So whether it's Devontae Freeman eventually beating out or taking over for an injured Steven Jackson, Christian Michael, same situation, more injury-related, obviously, for Marshawn Lynch. And then LeGarrette Blount, same thing, you know, injury-related for Le'Veon Bell. I think we could all say in an ideal world, you know, you're looking at these guys and hoping that they never start for the guys that they're playing behind. But we know how fantasy goes and how sometimes, you know, you need to start one of these guys.
Yeah, and there was somebody I was thinking of that doesn't get drafted that should. Oh, Ronnie Hillman.
Well, we did have some news today. Well, it's not, I don't know if it's news, but a speculation from, was it ESPN?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably why I thought of it. I saw the update.
Yeah, that C.J. Anderson may not make the final 53-man roster, which I was shocked to see that.
Someone will identify himself as the backup to Monte Ball.
And that guy's a must-own.
That guy is a must-own with a late pick, especially
if
he's got ball.
He'll be in this group of Wilson and Woodhead and Mason and Sproles and Williams and Sims and all these guys.
Do you think he'll be a 10th-round pick?
Oh, he should be. If you're talking handcuffs at this point?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have to own Ball. Just to see, you know, like what happened with Knowshon Moreno, where if Ball gets hurt, you've got a stud. You've got a potential, like, first, second-round pick, because that's what Peyton Manning
does. I think it's going to end up being Hillman.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, because if they're slanting it that way, even though Anderson reportedly in the minicamps and OTAs was looking good.
Yeah.
But if it's starting to slant that way, it's going to be that way. You know, unless somebody's going to get cut between now and then. I mean, would you be surprised if the Dolphins cut bait with Knowshon?
That's interesting.
And then he goes back to Denver if they're not sold?
Oh, that would be a nightmare if I had Monte Ball on my fantasy team. I would be surprised, too, because I don't think Denver made much of a push for him. Well, Knowshon said something like only the Dolphins were the only team to call for him.
Yeah, I think the fan base would be very disenchanted if they cut one of their big offseason signings before he even played.
Well, not if his knee's bad.
Well, if his knee is that bad, he's not playing this year.
Sure.
Okay, next up, round 11. Tavon Austin. Good value?
Good value.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of forgotten about. Maybe he has a bounce back.
He was like a round 7 guy last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was a bust.
Big time. Jarrett Boykin to Jamie. DeAndre Hopkins, Marvin Jones, James Starks, Jay Cutler, Odell Beckham to me. Jonathan Stewart, Josh Gordon to Dave, James White, 49ers, and I love it, Eric Ebron. If you're going to wait and take the last starting tight end, you might as well do it with the last pick of round 11, Eric Ebron. Anyway, thoughts on this round, guys? Jarrett Boykin, Jamie?
I love Jarrett Boykin. Going to be the third receiver there for the Packers. They're very much talking him up as being solidified in that role. And the longer they go without identifying their tight end, I think that only makes him that much better. Because, look, you know what Jordy's going to do. You know what Randall Cobb is capable of doing, and we hope he stays healthy for 16 games because that's 100-catch potential. But Boykin was very good last year stepping in for Cobb, and that was really without Aaron Rodgers because Rodgers got hurt two games later. So I think Jarrett Boykin has a chance to be a top 36 receiver. You're not going to have to draft him that way. But, look, there's touchdowns missing from James Jones. There's touchdowns in production missing from James Jones and JerMichael Finley. This offense has a need right now, and he's going to have to fight off Davante Adams, but and Richard Rodgers and whoever else, you know, steps up in the tight end spot. But I'll take the third receiver for Aaron Rodgers as my fourth receiver on my fantasy team.
This is also an offense that wants to run like 75 plays a game, and they're an Eddie Lacy injury away from Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball 75 times a game.
Yeah, I don't know. If that's
maybe not 75.
They,
but
they like Starks.
They do like Starks, but I don't know if they're going to lean on him as much as,
well,
as they would
the
on
offense.
Lacy. I think you're right about Boykin.
Josh Gordon.
Oh, it's just a total shot in the dark. The suspension is only for 8 games. What's the worst thing that happens is that it comes down that he's out for the season and I cut him and I pick somebody else up.
What's your gut feeling?
At least 8 games.
Any other picks really stand out to you in this round?
I think this is a good round. I think if you want to look at some players that have some nice upside and are in some good situations, I think they're here. Austin's one of them. Jamie talked about Boykin. DeAndre Hopkins is a good talent. I don't like his quarterback very much and all that stuff, but at least we know that Houston's going to play from behind. I figure they'll play from behind quite a bit, so maybe that'll open up Hopkins to score more than the 2 touchdowns he had last year.
They played from behind last year, too. That was the disappointing thing.
Yeah, they were a mess last year. Marvin Jones is another guy probably picked too late. I'm not a big fan of his, but even I'll admit that like round 11 is a little too late for him. Cutler. Good value in round 10. Very good value.
Yeah, love Cutler there.
And
Chris's
Ebron.
First quarterback?
I don't think so. Because he would now be the 13th quarterback drafted. No, I think you might be right. That he is. Because Scott took Nick Foles as his backup.
I'll tell you.
I'm pretty sure this is his first quarterback.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah. So, all right, fine. So let's just look at Chris Towers' team to pause after 11 rounds and see if you waited that long to take a quarterback. You waited 11 rounds and you took Jay Cutler, and his team looks like this. Cutler, Frank Gore, Zach Stacy.
Cutler's his only quarterback so far.
Yes. He actually did not draft a backup. Cutler, Frank Gore, Zach Stacy, Pierre Garçon and Calvin Johnson, Rob Gronkowski, flexes Pierre Thomas, Broncos defense Justin Tucker. Not a fan.
No, he needs Gronkowski to be 2011 Gronkowski.
He also needs Cutler to be 2013 weeks 1 through 6 without getting hurt.
Yep.
Cutler.
Mm-hmm. A lot of ifs.
I wonder what he could have done better.
Well, they obviously went Calvin in round 1. I'm assuming Stacy in round 2.
Yeah.
Gronk in round 3.
Yeah. Probably Frank Gore in round 4.
No, Garçon in 4 probably. That's my guess. Maybe he did go Gore in round 4.
If he didn't, no, he took Garçon in round 4. He could have taken Ray Rice there.
Took Gore in 5. Round 6, Pierre Thomas. I would say that that's a red flag.
No, I disagree because the way running backs went in this draft, it's too high based on where he's going to go. But
he could have picked a running back in front of us in round 7 or round 8 and taken another receiver if he wanted to.
He took Fred Jackson.
Oh.
He did load up on some running backs.
So he could always use Fred Jackson in the flex if Pierre Thomas is too inconsistent.
See, but this is the problem, though, and we kind of looked at it with your team as well, Adam. If you take a non-running back with your first-round pick, it's very hard to take another one in the first 3 picks. We've talked about this for years, that if you go tight end, quarterback, receiver, first round, it's hard not to go running back.
Well, no, because – oh, if you don't take one in the first round.
Yes, so like he took Calvin in the first round and then Gronk in the third round.
Yeah.
So now he's really pigeonholed himself at a key spot.
Running back, right. Yeah. Okay.
And I almost think it's a detriment if you go receiver or quarterback in the first round and Gronk in the third round, because now you're huge question mark with Gronk, right?
I mean, look,
for now.
And then the thought of an uncertain second running back on top of it.
All right, so round 12, Rams, Kelvin Benjamin, Kenny Stills, Andre Brown, to Dave.
Handcuff.
Justin Hunter. That's right, you have Arian Foster. Justin Hunter, it seems like good value.
Love Justin Hunter.
Ben Roethlisberger to me. It's my second quarterback to back up RG3. Roy Helu, Danny Amendola, Philip Rivers, Cecil Shorts, Niall Davis to Jamie, and the Cardinals. Any thoughts here?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting because Will Brinson took Cam Newton as his number one quarterback, and clearly we've discussed this a lot that, you know, Dave and I aren't Cam Newton supporters as a number one guy. So this is the type of move to make. He took Cam in round, what was it, round 9?
It was a round like that.
It was round 10.
Round 10.
So he takes Cam in
round
10.
And he was laughing in the draft room. Oh, I can't believe
it. Right. And then he gets, you know, look, Philip Rivers, you know, I think I'd rather have Carson Palmer, but I understand Rivers is a high-end number two. Great guy to pair him with. And so that's what you do. You know, Chris Towers should do something similar. You know, he didn't, but he should. You take Cutler and a backup. You take, like you did as well. You made a smart move. You took RG3. There's question marks as of now. You take one of the top backups in Roethlisberger. Great move to make.
Okay.
And Kenny tremendous value still in round 12. It's hard to call any player a bad pick in round 12.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you rank Kelvin Benjamin, Kenny Stills, and Justin Hunter?
I like Stills and Hunter better than Benjamin, but look, Benjamin to me is a great wild card to gamble on because somebody's got to catch passes there. And look, we could say Cam's going to have a bad year. He's still going to throw 20 touchdowns. I mean, you know, it's going to be in that range. So who's the best threat to catch touchdowns there? Yes, you could say Kotre scored 10 a year ago. Olsen should be, you know, see a bump in touchdowns. But this is what Benjamin does. I mean, you know, there's a report out today. It's an update on our site that Cam Newton took. There's 13 players for the Panthers working out at Ricky Prohl's facility in Greensboro, North Carolina. Ricky Prohl's their receivers coach. And none of those guys outside of Cam Newton was a member of the Carolina Panthers last year. So Greg Olsen's not there. So it's basically the 9 new receivers that are on this team. If you could believe that there are actually 9 new receivers on a team. And 2 tight ends. I don't know who they may be at this point.
Who weren't on the team last year?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be Ed Dixon, but that veteran guy, I don't know if he's there or not.
Wasn't in the story.
Well, could be Brandon Williams. They like him.
Kotre and Avon are there, so it's not like there's not veterans.
Okay,
there.
So maybe it's Ed Dixon and Brandon Williams. They like Brandon Williams. Anyway, that could be a guy that salvages Cam.
And the other 2 quarterbacks on the roster as well. And so in the story, it says that Kelvin Benjamin, you know, is having a hard time when he gets pushed off his route, getting back on his route because he's so big that, you know, once he's bumped, you know, it's hard for him to get back where he needs to be in the amount of time he needs to get there. So there's going to be a hard learning curve for this kid. But the one thing where he should be able to excel is to step in the end zone, turn around. You know,
right.
Because at 6'5".
Run to the back right pylon.
Right, and 250 pounds. Cam's never had this before. So I'm okay with Benjamin. He's actually a sleeper for me just because in round 12, like I said, I think you can get 6 to 8 touchdowns from him.
How many yards?
Not much. I think, you know, if you get 600 yards from him, you're a benefit.
Stills, does he have a shot at 1,007 or 950?
Yeah, Stills is better. I think Stills is better and Hunter better. But I'm okay with Benjamin in this spot. I would have just reversed the order of the receivers.
I'd go Stills first, too.
Who are your favorites from rounds 13, 14, and 15? 15 was all kickers except for one DST.
So do we even have to talk about round 15?
Well, the only thing with round 15 is talk? Would you rather have, like, does it make sense to take Steven Gostkowski in round 14 and take the Texans defense in round 15 as Peter Madden did, or do you just not care about your
kicker?
I'd
rather roll. I invest more time studying DSTs than kickers to begin with. I'd rather roll with a DST with my second to last pick. And then just, you know, I like finding a kicker that's got a good week one matchup. And
that's good.
That's
idea.
Who
I like
going.
Finding a good kicker that has a late bye week, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's
long,
the other thing.
Time.
What would be beautiful is finding a combo kicker that's got both a good early season schedule and a late season bye.
Yep. I think 13's interesting. I mean, I like my pick in 13. I'm this is sounding Nando, but I like Rod Streeter this year. Third-year receiver. They're going to be throwing a lot. The upgrading quarterback. I think he's the best of the bunch by far over James Jones and Denarius Moore. So I'm very happy about that.
And I took Donald Brown because I'm going to take the backup running back of one of the most injury-prone running backs in football. That'll be Ryan Matthews, excuse me.
Yeah, we had this discussion in the draft room, which I think is interesting, that you took Donald Brown over Ahmad Bradshaw as the Trent Richardson owner.
Right, because Ahmad Bradshaw is just nothing to me. I don't trust him to stay healthy. I don't trust him to be good anymore. He's like, for his size, he's old, and he's been so beat up. I mean, so beat up.
I'm surprised he's still playing football.
Me too. So I just
I'm surprised
I don't think
he's still
he changes,
playing, and I'm surprised the team is still paying him. Maybe
I don't
he doesn't
think
make
he
it
changes
out of
my fantasy team if Trent Richardson goes down. Like, I'm not rushing to the waiver wire to pick up Ahmad Bradshaw.
I don't know if
Ryan Matthews doesn't get hurt, though?
Then I drop Donald Brown at some point.
Right.
This is my 13th round pick.
You're going to end up dropping Donald Brown after 2 weeks.
If I have to. Yeah, once the bye weeks come, sure. Like, I could see that. I'm mm-hmm. not married to this pick.
I like Ladarius Green in round 13. I like Carson Palmer in round 13. I see the upside in Marcus Wheaton in round 13. And I took Travaris Cadet, just in case he's the next Darren Sproles in New Orleans. I thought that was nice little value. And Dougie Baldwin, last pick around 13. I like him a lot.
Let's go over Tobin's teams. I like so many of his picks.
Yep, he did really
and
nice
he
job.
He was picking at the 12 spot, so back-to-back picks all the way through.
Tony Romo, Shane Vereen, and DeMarco Murray are his starting running backs. Demaryius Thomas and Michael Crabtree are his starting wide receivers. Eric Ebron is his starting tight end, his only tight end. As flex, he's got a lot of options here. I guess I shouldn't say that. He's got Rashad Jennings, T.Y. Hilton. Oh, wow, Golden Tate. I'm sorry. Okay, he does have Rashad Jennings, Golden Tate, T.Y. Hilton, Doug Baldwin, Trey Mason. So, again, it's Romo, Murray, Vereen, Crabtree, Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Ebron, and then Rashad Jennings or Golden Tate. Or T.Y. Hilton or Doug Ball. That's a great team. And the Rams defense.
It's an amazing team, and I look forward to beating him in the championship game.
We're not playing this league out, are we?
You never know, Adam.
I don't know if I really love. I certainly don't. His running back depth is okay. I don't know if I love Shane Vereen as a number two running back. It's passable.
You know what I'm learning here, though?
We did say that if he would have, he took Vereen over Gerhardt. If he would have taken Gerhardt.
Yeah, I'd probably be looking at that a lot differently. But and Ebron's still a question mark. I know how talented he is, but.
Sure.
But this is what happens when you pass on tight end.
Right. So he waited for quarterback and waited for tight end, and so, of course, he's rich at receiver and good enough at running back.
But I think Jamie's team and Tobin's team, which we just read, and Jamie's team is Andrew Luck, LeSean McCoy, Drake Bell, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Dennis Pitta, and then Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson is
Patterson's going to be his
my bench is definitely a lot of question marks.
It's Niall Davis, LeGarrette
totally
Blunt,
understand.
But who
Michael
cares?
Freeman,
because your starters are good.
But the thing is, you can be weak at number two running back if you're that good at your flex and your receivers.
Yep.
But your bench depth is scary. You're not going to win this league, not with this crap.
Well,
I might disagree.
The key would be is when Steven Jackson gets hurt and what you offer me for Devontae Freeman. That would be the first part.
Jimmy Graham.
And when Marshawn Lynch gets hurt and what people come asking for Christian Michael.
I understand the players that I took and the spots that I took them, but I also understand that if I had not, I totally understand A.J. Green's a gift. There's no way that a top 20 overall player is falling to the beginning of round three.
I think it's possible.
It happens all the time.
Obviously, it's possible. But
what if it was Jordy Nelson?
Most likely, as most drafts would go, yes, Jordy Nelson would be the more logical.
Sure.
Pick.
Or Antonio Brown.
But at that point, I'm probably taking who's the other guy I would have considered, which would be Bishop Sankey. So then I'm going Sankey and the same team, except you're pushing up now.
Patterson becomes your number two.
Patterson becomes my number two, and Joyke Bell's my flex.
Here's Dave's team. Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, Ryan Matthews, Andre Johnson, and Emmanuel Sanders. Zach Ertz, Torrey Smith is your flex. Oh, yeah, or Lamar Miller or Terrence West. So I would say receiver.
I like my running back depth a lot.
Yeah, receiver depth not so much.
Yeah,
right?
Receiver
you don't
depth
have a stud
is a little
receiver.
No, I mean, Andre is as close as I get. And I know everyone thinks Emmanuel Sanders isn't great because he hasn't done great things, but that's my roll of the dice.
And look, if you have Peyton Manning on your team, there's a good, it's hard to, I think on paper sometimes it's hard to see the value, because you look at the other positions and say, well, he's sleek here, but he's got Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and Arian Foster's just going to be polarizing. We're just going to have to wait and see how he does, but we've seen players come back from this type of back injury before and do just fine.
And my team.
The running back?
Yeah, Steven Jackson. He's one. And, God, I'm blanking on the other guy who did it. It's a minor back procedure. I'm not scared of this back compared to some other ones.
RG3 with Roethlisberger backing him up. Doug Martin, Trent Richardson, Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, Jimmy Graham, Steven Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, my two most likely flexes, Ruben Randall and Odell Beckham as backup wide receivers. I'll drop one of them once I figure out who the stud outside receiver could be. And I have David Wilson and Donald Brown on the bench. I actually don't mind this team.
I feel like you need too many things to break your way.
Like what?
Start at the top with RG3. I mean, I agree that he should have an amazing season with bombastic stats, but, you know, he could get hurt along the way.
But between RG3 and Roethlisberger, don't you think I'm almost guaranteed to have a top 12 quarterback?
Yes.
Probably. It might be toward the bottom of the top 12, but
I need Trent Richardson.
You need Trent Richardson. You need Edelman to do what he did last year. You need Steven Jackson to play like it's 2005.
I don't need Edelman. Between Maclin and Randall and Edelman, one of them.
You might need one of those guys to be your flex.
I mean, you're talking 1,200 yards and 100 catches.
Yeah, I know. But I like Edelman. I'm just saying. Between one of those three.
I don't think he gives you 100 catches and 1,200 yards. Not unless Gronk gets hurt again.
I got this. All right, guys. Thank you. This is fun. We're back on Monday with a Mailbag Monday. Oh, go to CBSSports.com/fantasy party and come see us August 23rd in Foxborough, Massachusetts at, what is it called? The CBS Center, right?
CBS Scene. You are a professional.
And don't forget our big draft special next week.
Yes.
Yeah, rolling it out. The Hooters draft.
July 23rd, we're unveiling our sleepers, our breakouts, our busts, which some of you guys have probably heard about already if you're regular podcast listeners. The tears will be unveiled on July 23rd.
Oh, that sounds so sad.
Oh, well, not that type of tears, you Nimrod. And then, you know, I think it's going to end up being like a live 90-minute video. Or not live, but live to tape 90-minute video of me and Adam here and Jamie there and four very fantasy knowledgeable Hooters ladies.
Call me a Nimrod. All right.
I was thinking of a much worse word that you wouldn't... You'd have to bleep out what I was going to say.
All right, well, then I thank you. For Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard, I'm Adam Azer. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
Bye.